All right, take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 4. 1 Peter, chapter 4. We're going to read verses 6 through 10 together, and we'll read this passage responsively. 1 Peter, chapter 4, verses 6 through 10. 1 Peter, chapter 4, verses 6 through 10. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober, and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. And let's finish on verse 10 together. Ready? As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And let's pray. Father, thank you for what you've done for us today. Lord, I pray that you bless the preaching of your word. We sure do need it. Lord, we're sinners. We're sinful. I wish I could give you a sinless preacher, but I cannot. I'm a man, just like every other person in this room. But I pray that you'd allow the Holy Spirit to work through me, flow through me, so that you could meet the needs of each and every person in this room today, please. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Now, I need your help this morning. Some of you fellas, I need you to practice something. I need you to holler amen. Ready? One, two, three.
Amen!
That's better. I just want to make sure you're with me, because I plan on hearing that every once in a while today. Amen, fellas?
Amen!
That's better. All right, here we go. We have a wonderful God.
Amen!
See, I got you trained. All right? Contrary to what the liberals of today think, God, and I mean Jehovah, is not the same God of all religions, just a different name.
That's right.
Morgan Freeman is wrong.
Amen.
You say, who's that? If you don't know who it is, don't worry about it.
Right.
But he's some liberal Hollywood dude that goes around, and I've not watched any of his junk, but I've seen just enough of it to know he goes around and shows how the Buddhists and the Muslims and the Shintoites and all these different religions, we all worship the same God, just a different figure and just a different name. That's a lie out of hell.
That's right. Amen.
That's as nice as I know how to say it.
Yes,
God is God.
Amen.
He is the creator. Yes, you know, our God is the only one who claims to be the creator.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
By the way, you go back and look at our founding fathers. I don't care what the liberals of today say. We were founded as a Christian nation.
Yes. Yes.
They called God the Creator.
Yep.
They called him the Divine One.
Yep.
They called him the Provident One. It means the prominent, the God of gods. And go down in Washington, D.C. and just look at all the writing on the buildings down there and find out how much God was involved in the founding of our government.
Yes, sir.
We're now kicking God out and bringing all the false gods in. There was a teacher this last week who got fired for having a Bible in the public schools. State of Kentucky had Bible, bring your Bible today, this last week. 300,000 students were asked to bring their Bibles to a public school. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
And I'll be honest with you, I'm a little sick and tired of everybody else having freedom but us Christians.
That's right.
We've got this mentality from our government, from our president, that, well, you Christians have had it long enough time that everybody else gets it. That's why he won't use the term terrorist, Muslim extremist terrorist.
Yes, right.
You say why? Because he is one.
That's right.
He's funding them.
That's right.
Now, I won't go into that. God uses a term in this passage, though, that got my attention. I want you to notice a word here that we read and pass by, but look at verse number 10, the very last line there. It says, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Wow. the manifold grace of God. Now, that word manifold is the word that got my attention, Brother Mike. Now, I know just enough about cars to know what a manifold is. A manifold comes off your engine. If you got an 8-cylinder engine, you'll have four outputs on one side, four on the other. They don't have straight eights anymore. But you'll have four pipes that come off of that, and they run into one. And four come off this one, run into one. And then those two pipes join, and that's what your exhaust is. It's called an exhaust manifold. You have many pipes that lead into one. God says he has manifold grace. Now, hang on there. We're going somewhere with this. That word got my attention. I thought I knew what it meant. As I started studying, I had a spell. I literally had a spell. My son's apartment set up in such a way, I'd get up early in the morning, and I'd go out to my car, and usually either go get a cup of coffee or take a cup of coffee with me and drive out somewhere where I could scream and holler and shout and praise and have a good time by myself. Amen. He was sleeping on the couch and the bedrooms are full, and it was like, I'm not staying here listening to everybody snore. I'm going out and having a good time with God.
Amen.
And I did.
Yes, sir.
I was sitting in my car having a spell in a parking lot somewhere in Kentucky this week. The word manifold here in the Greek means it means multi or all colored. Have you ever gone to Home Depot or Lowe's or Sherman Williams or Benjamin Moore and you walk over to the one wall and it's nothing but one solid thing of paint colors?
Yes.
Y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Now there's about six colors there and that's it when you're colorblind. What's the sense in having all those things up there? They all look the same. Well, this one's just a shade. You can't see that shade. Don't tell me that. Now, wait a minute. They could have thousands of shades there. That is a manifold of colors. It is virtually every color combination you can get. Now, I understand how to read those. I take my wife with me to those places so she can pick the right shade, but I start with the base colors and go from there. I understand the philosophy of color and how to get those colors. I just don't see them like y'all see them. Now, I know that sounds strange to you, but did you know that pink is a combination of red and white, but you can also get pink from brown? And pink that is just red and white, as it's on your walls, will get darker pink over a period of time. Pink that has a brown base won't pink out, and it'll stay the same color all the way through. But finding that brown base pink isn't as easy as you think it is. Now, I understand the philosophy of color like that, and I know how to pick those things out and that type of thing. But that wall of colors it's a manifold of paint. It has every shade that you might need, and it has to be specially made so that that shade is exactly what you want it to be. Now, when God says here, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God, that means this: God can be whatever is needed in any situation of life. God has the ability to color the situation to what you need it to be. He has the ability to meet the need, no matter how big or how small it may be. He said he is the God of the manifold grace. Wow. Grace. That means what we need that we cannot get on our own. Doesn't matter what it is, he can fill that need. Can I tell you something? We have a manifold God.
Amen.
We have a manifold God. That means this: God's color of God's grace is there to meet or fix any problem you may have. I've seen God do what only God can do. Let me say that again. I have seen God do what only God can do. I've seen God meet needs that only God can meet. A man sitting right back there is a picture of God's grace and the manifold coloring of God's grace. Good night, he's supposed to have been dead a year ago. He was in the emergency room last week, and they said he was going to die again. Guess what? He came to church Wednesday night. Amen. Guess they didn't get him yet. Say, what is that? That's called the manifold grace of God. I've seen him do every type of work as well. Let me show you what I mean. I've seen God supernaturally meet financial needs of people in this room.
Amen.
I've seen God supernaturally meet the need of this church as a whole. God gave us $45,000 from one contributor and another $10,000 from another contributor for buying our property and taking care of our building project. Now, that's not all we need yet, but it got us to the next level, amen?
Amen.
Say, well, preacher, you need another $600,000. Well, I've watched him meet thus far. Guess what? He's going to take care of the rest.
Amen.
I have no doubt about it. I've watched people here in this room. God, I need this amount. Guess what? God's given it to you.
Amen.
I've watched him do it. I've had people come and say, preacher, I need this. I've got to have this. I didn't have it to give them, but I'd say, let's pray. Sometimes in hours, sometimes in days, God supernaturally, only as only God could do, provided. Can I tell you something? We have a manifold grace of God when it comes to our financial needs. How about our medical needs? Good night. There's people here. You've been through things that cancers and you name it. We've seen God do some miraculous things medically. There's a little lady sitting right there. She had surgery. How long ago, Brother Ron? When did your mom have all her... About a year ago? Is it about 6 months to a year ago? Good night. She's the bionic lady. She got bionic internal parts, let me tell you. And I remember us praying for her. Can I tell you something? She's sitting there today.
Yep. Amen. Praise the Lord.
They didn't think she would be, but guess what? She is. God meets those needs supernaturally. Good night, Miss Osi, sitting back there. They told her she wasn't going to meet her 80th birthday. She's going to be, what, 82 or 83? She's still going. She's going to outlast me. I believe that. Say, why? Because God can color it to whatever need we need. And I could go on and on and on. I'm not. God is there for, there's certain relationships in this room. Watch God supernaturally start putting things together. Watch God grow people to where God supernaturally has done and is doing some things in relationships, whether it be husband, wife, friend, parent, child, you name it. I've just watched God do some amazing things. Let me just go ahead and say this, and I don't know how else to say it. I've watched God's manifold grace in people as they grieve the loss of a loved one.
Yes, sir.
Look at Brother Brian sitting back here. Mrs. McCormick came, and she got saved, and her grandkids came, and I baptized them. And Mr. McCormick's been a nice guy, but he just didn't come to church. It wasn't his fault. He wasn't a bad person. Then his wife had cancer, and she went through all that she's gone through, and she had it many times. You talk about good people.
Yes, amen.
And I mean real good people. I remember his wife passing and going to heaven. I watched one day my dad and my daughter went to his house and won him to the Lord.
Amen.
He'd been in church. I don't think he's missed, but maybe one service since. His wife's gone to heaven. Can I tell you something? Does he still miss her? Yes. Is that seat still empty across the table? Yes, it is. But may I say something? God's colored his life in such a way that he's meeting the need for him and his family. That's called the manifold grace of God. You look at Mrs. Craig downstairs working in junior church right now.
Amazing.
May 18th. On a Wednesday morning,
early. Her husband was driving tractor trailer up in Pennsylvania and hit a bear. Truck crossed the road and hit a wall and turned over, caught on fire, and burned her husband to death. I've known Rhonda and Ray 30-plus years. Can you talk about the grace of God coloring a lady's life?
Yes, sir.
That's Rhonda Craig.
Yes, sir.
A person I didn't think would be strong enough to make it. But I've watched God step in and do some amazing things.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And I'm not even going to go into all of the different areas in her life alone that God's meeting the need. But may I say this, we have a manifold God.
Yes.
I look back here at Sherry and Larry and Sherry's brother passing away. But bless God, 5 weeks before he went to heaven, he got saved.
Amen.
Wait a minute. I didn't say that you don't miss people that have gone on before, but may I say this, we have a manifold God that will meet the need that you have when you have it. Now, let me say right here, he can meet every need, he can fix every problem, and he can color everything that needs colored. Today, I want to show you how. Today, I want to show you how. Number one, God has manifold grace. Look at verse 10 again. As every man hath received the gift. You say, what's that gift? It's not the gift of the Holy Ghost where you sit on the floor and flop around like a fish out of water and start jibber-jabbering.
That's right.
That gift is the gift of salvation. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
This is a promise to every person that's ever been saved. God says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Can I tell you something? It does not matter the sin. God has the grace to color it.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
God isn't just multicolored. He's all colored.
Amen.
God has the ability, no matter what problem you have, what sin you have, it doesn't matter how bad you've been, God can color your life and fix that. Did you know something? The moment you get saved, he colors your sins white. My Bible says they go from being sinful to being white like wool.
Amen.
Wow. He takes the red blood of Jesus, mixes with our sin, and turns it white as snow. That is the manifold grace of God. Now, listen to me carefully here. Look at 1 Peter 1:6. Just turn back a couple pages there. Same book, just a couple chapters back. Bible says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Can I tell you something? Everybody in this room faces temptations. Temptation is not sin. Yielding to the temptation is sin. Everybody understand that? Jesus was tempted by the devil. But Jesus never sinned. He didn't yield to the temptation. We're sinners. We often yield to the temptation. But may I say this, as the temptation comes, God gives you the grace necessary to not go into that. Sometimes we fail. If we do, he has the grace to color it as though it's not there. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Do you know that once you get saved, you're always saved? There's nothing you can do to get unsaved?
Amen. Right.
If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you become born of God.
Yes.
You get the eternal genetics of God, and the Holy Spirit moves in. You can squelch his spirit, but you can't get rid of his spirit.
Praise the Lord.
Just like you can't be unborn from your mama and your daddy.
Amen. Amen.
Right. Praise God. Now, there's times your mama and daddy may have wished you weren't born. No comments on the back row. But may I say this? You can't be unborn from God.
Right.
Let's get rid of this mentality. Well, I'm not sure if I really meant it enough. Did you realize you were a sinner, on your way to hell, needing a Savior, and you trusted what the Bible said and died alone to take you there? Doesn't matter how much you meant it enough to do what God said. Amen. That's all he needed.
Yes, sir. Amen.
We've gotten into this how much garbage, way too much. My Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. There's a reason it says heart belief, not head belief. Not with your head you believe unto righteousness. You say, well, I believe in Jesus. The devil believes and trembles.
That's right.
It's not a matter that you believe here. Did you believe here? Did you realize you were a sinner in need of that Savior, and at that moment you said, I believe it enough with my heart to do what you said? At that moment, you're saved. There's nothing you could do to take it away. Now, watch this. Salvation colors all sin by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Well, it's just the death of Jesus, not the blood. Heresy. If it was just his death, he wouldn't have had to die at Calvary. They could have strangled him.
Yeah, yes, sir.
He used to be a preacher in California back in the 80s and 90s, real famous. His name was John MacArthur. John MacArthur is a heretic.
That's right, yes, sir.
John MacArthur said it's not the blood of Jesus. It just trickled to the foot of the cross. It's the death of Jesus. I hate to disappoint you, Mr. MacArthur, but with that kind of junk, people are going to die and go to hell. Jesus died as our lamb, and he resurrected as our high priest, and he went to heaven and put his own blood on the mercy seat in heaven. It wasn't the death, it was the applied blood on the mercy seat. And Mr. MacArthur is wrong. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You see, God's forgiveness and grace only have salvation as a prerequisite. Do you know the only thing you need to do in order to get God's grace is get saved? That's the only thing you have to do. Do you know what the only unforgivable sin is in the world? There's a sin called the unpardonable sin. Ooh. Can I tell you what it is? Rejecting salvation before you die. That is the only sin God can't forgive, because once you quit sucking air, you're in hell.
Yep, that's right.
That's it. Well, it says blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. I wonder if I said something to the Holy Spirit and made him mad. Yeah, blasphemy means this. You reject him for salvation, not that you disobeyed him.
Yep.
There's a difference between blasphemy and disobedience. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. You know, if God colors our picture with his grace, why do we want to judge everybody else's picture?
Uh-oh.
That was a good statement, wasn't it, Brother June?
If God colors our picture with his grace, what are we doing judging everybody's picture? I love it when the little kids bring me color pictures. I hate going to my wife's Sunday school classroom if they're in there coloring. Say why? Because unless the paper's on the crayon, I can't see what color it is to color it. Pretty bad when a three-year-old says, "Preacher, that's the wrong color." I didn't know. They all pretty, you know, they're either dark crayons or light crayons. Doesn't matter. You know, unless it's got, and the crayon companies come up with some of the stupidest names for color. Good night. I used to be able to read a crayon and say, okay, it's red, it's green, it's blue, it's black. You know, now they have, cardinal this. I'm thinking cardinal. Okay, must be some kind of red. Or brown. I mean, it's crazy. But may I say this? We're not supposed to compare our picture to somebody else's picture. You know, I'm not supposed to have God color my life and then look at Joe Heaney and say, Joe, my picture's better than your picture. That's sin.
That's right. Amen.
And if Joe went outside the lines, he's got a lot hanging outside the line. But if Joe goes outside the lines, I'm not the judge to say, Joe, you didn't stay within the lines.
I might have part of my picture colored perfectly and the rest of it's undone. He might have more of his picture colored, though it might be a little sloppier. At least he's got more done than I got.
Yes, sir.
Everybody doing all right? Who are we to judge each other's pictures? Can I tell you something? Thank God for a place like this church. I am not going to stand here and condemn people who have sinned. You say, why? Because that's all of us.
Yes, sir.
Well, this person knew better. Well, according to the Bible, we all know better. Did you know even the world knows it's wrong to do certain things?
Yes, sir.
Let me show you what I mean. Let's say you were at work, fellas, and you lost your temper a little bit. And you threw something that you was working with. Got so mad, threw a hammer or threw a wrench. And Joe, the altar is right in front of you, Doc. And all of a sudden, you heard one of your lost employees say, I didn't think Christians acted like that. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Now, wait a minute. Isn't it amazing they know how Christians are supposed to act, but they won't act that way? Can I tell you something? Even the lost world knows how Christians are supposed to act. That's why these churches that are supposed to be churches that have the same music the world has, have the same standards the world has. The world's sick of those places. It's a social club. It's not church.
That's right.
Yeah. Folks, this place isn't playing church. We are church.
Amen.
It's supposed to be run God's way, not our way.
Right.
You shouldn't be able to turn your radio on to FM whatever, listen to some rock station, and then go to church and listen to the same music just with different words. Hate to tell you, we're not going to put God's words to the devil's music. Either way, it's still the devil's music. It's not God's. You shouldn't be listening to, and I don't even know who the contemporary country western singers are today, but, you know, we're not supposed to be listening to Johnny Cash and then come to church, have the same style of music, and put Christian words to it. This isn't a honky-tonk. This is church.
Yes, sir.
Everybody doing all right?
Yep.
Man, I'm having fun right now. We should avoid every possible sin and temptation. But God will turn our clouds into beauty and make it a beautiful sunset if we fail him. Did you ever watch a sunset with no clouds? It's still beautiful. But what makes a sunset beautiful often is the clouds. God has a way of taking the dark clouds of our life, and as the sun shines on them, S-O-N,
yes, sir.
God can turn it a beautiful color.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
He can paint it a beautiful picture. I have a pastor friend in another state. Just about every Sunday, he wishes me a happy Sunday, S-O-N-D-A-Y, capital S-O-N, Jesus Day,
amen.
Amen. I love that. I love looking down early in the morning and says, Happy Sunday, preacher. Ooh, man, that gets me going. You got to see me about 5 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday morning. I'm coming unscrewed already. My wife gets to church. I've been to church for hours before she gets here. And I mean hours. She said, I know. You jumped out of bed this morning. I said, I don't know if I jumped, but I got out. It was about 8 o'clock. I had to run down to the store and pick something up real quick. I was down there. A lady looked at me. She said, boy, you look like you're going to church. I said, no, ma'am. Been there and headed back. She said, what church? I said, I'm the pastor. She said, when'd you get there? I said, I got church right at 5 o'clock this morning. She said, was there anybody else there? I said, mm-hmm. My boss was. She said, you were the pastor. Who's your boss? I said, she said, oh. You know, it's fun to play with people at 8 o'clock on Sunday morning that don't go to church. She was about as confused as a termite in a yo-yo. She didn't know what to say after that. She said, where's your church at? I told her. She said, I didn't know there was one there. I said, come down, find out what we are. She said, I just might do that. I said, here you go, ma'am.
Can I tell you something? God has a way of coloring the wrong in our life by His grace. I look across this room. I'll use Brother Mike. Got saved as a drunkard. God's used that to color his life. He wishes he didn't have it in his past, but he's using it to help people get saved. Bless God. So, number one, God has manifold grace. Number two, God has manifold works. Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 104. I am going to hurry, I promise you. I'm going to land the plane at noon, whether we're done or not. But Psalm 104, look at verse 24. Psalm 104, verse 24. I'm going to read while you catch up. The Bible says, O Lord, how manifold are thy works. In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. Wow. Can I tell you something? God
has the ability to work in ways we don't know. He has the ability to work us through any problem we are in. There is nothing so big, God cannot do it. It reminds me of that bus song. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. Wow. I know, you got your idiots out there. Can God do anything? Yes. Can God make a rock so big he can't pick it up? Yes, he made you.
Unbelievable what some people think of. I said, first of all, the answer to that is, you're an idiot. And they look at me. I said, God can do, well, because you say, well, yes, he could. Well, if he can't pick it up, then he can't do everything. And if he can't make it, he can't do everything. That's their line of thinking. But may I say this? God can do anything.
That's right.
Yes.
And I look at them and say, God is all powerful. God can do anything. You're the fool that will not believe that. Accept it at face value. Now, God has manifold works. I'm going to make a statement here. God has a work for every problem or every situation in life. God has the ability to help you work your way out of any problem, any situation in life. No matter how dreary the problem, God has a work or the ability to help you work out the problem. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 13. I want to read a verse to you, 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? God says, I don't care how big it is, I'll make a way for you to escape it.
Hallelujah.
I'll even use that temptation to help you get out of it if necessary. Yes. But God can work it out, I promise you.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? There is no problem so big in your life, God can't use it.
That's right.
I was at dinner. My wife and I and my daughter were at dinner with Dr. and Mrs. Jorgensen on Wednesday evening. Doc sat across the table from me, and he said, Preacher, he said, yesterday's chapel, he said, you just don't know how much it helped our college. I said, thank you. He said, no, you don't understand. He said, fed student after student after student in my office. He said, I had one young man. He said, I won't give you his name. I said, won't matter. I won't know who it is anyway, probably. He said, I won't tell you who he is. He said, not a bad kid. Just sometimes has got it, sometimes doesn't, sometimes with it, sometimes don't know if he's going to leave. He said, he came to my office in tears and said, that sermon changed my life. I understood what that man said. I'm in for good.
Crazy.
I can do what he just said.
Amen.
I was at church Wednesday night. One of the staff ladies walked up and said, Brother Bush, I had to work in the office. I didn't get to actually hear the sermon then. I'll listen to it. She said, but the girls all came back and told me about it. She started quoting my outline to me. She said, you don't know how many girls you probably kept in college because of that thing.
Praise the Lord.
I said, I didn't. God did.
Amen.
I told them both. I even told Doc. I said, Doc, I preached that sermon in my church 2 weeks ago. It's a sermon on the will of God. I preached that sermon in here. That college is going to get leftovers. Y'all are going to get the fresh stuff. Amen?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
But I preached that sermon here. I said, I preached that to my church. If it's going to help my church, it'll help these college kids.
Yes,
sir. I said, now, I applied it a little different because it's a different crowd, but it's the same sermon. Can I tell you something? You don't have a problem God has not seen. Let me say that again. You don't have a problem God has not yet seen.
That's true.
Well, I just don't think God's going to help me. You don't have a problem God hadn't seen already.
That's right.
God uses the problem to show you how he can work in your life. Now, listen to this statement. I did not say God sends the problem to show you that. God's not this mean old guy in the sky sending you problems, thumping you in the head, trying to make life miserable for you. Our problems and our sin are because of us. We are reaping for our sin. Though we'll never be judged for them, we reap the repercussion of our sin. Everybody doing all right? Now watch this. But even in that reaping of the sin, God says, I can show you how to get out of that. Looks like a tangled up mess to me, but God says, I know how to untangle it all. If you just follow what I say, I can help you out of that. I'm about to shout here. I texted Brother Kevin on Monday and said, Brother Kevin, Jamie's in the hospital. I'm out of town. I said, you're closer to him than I. He asked for a Bible today. I said, could you please go see him? He said, my wife and I will go see him tomorrow. Tuesday night, about 10 o'clock, my phone buzzed. I looked down, it was Brother Arcola. He said, after 3.5 hours, Jamie and his wife sweetly just trusted Jesus as their Savior. And I about had a spell. God did not send that sickness to Jamie. It's a result of us all being sinners. We're all going to get sick. But may I say this? God used that sickness for Jamie and his wife to get saved. I don't believe God said, that boy's going to have that. No, I think it happened. I think God said, because of that, I'm going to work it out to where somebody's going to get the gospel to him.
Yes, sir.
Boy, that's good stuff.
Amen.
God works through his word. Did you know God's not going to work contrary to that book right there?
That's right.
Won't do it. God is a God of his word.
Amen.
And he's going to work through his word. I'm going to make a statement. You might not like it. But God's going to work through God's man.
Yes, sir.
He's appointed a man of God over the house of God to help you with the word of God know how to fix the problems from God.
That's right.
I know that just confused about 4 of you. Say it again. I'm not sure I could. But may I say this? God even gives the man of God enough sense every once in a while to help you with your problems.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Number next, God works through his people. Did you know God will sometimes use everybody to help you?
Yes, sir.
He will. God will even use the world and the world system for him. Psalm 104, verse 24 says that he owns all the riches of the world. Can I tell you something?
and please listen to me carefully. There is nobody in the world that wants this building built last year any faster than I do. I mean, I want it now. I'm working hard at being patient. But every day, many times a day, I say, God, I want it to be there when you want it there. I want it to be as you want it. And you're going to provide it as we can handle. God, if you've got to change the heart of a banker, you do it. If you've got to bring money in from elsewhere, you do it. I don't know how you're going to do it, but you got to do it. You know, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills.
That's right.
He owns all the gold in the hills. He owns the wallet of the farmer farming the hills.
Yes, sir.
Can I tell you something? Hillary Clinton may have swindled hundreds of billions of dollars from people, but God owns more than she does.
Yes, amen.
She might own the press, but she don't own God.
Amen.
Now, hang in there for a second.
God even uses the world and the world's system to work for him. Next, and I'm done. God will help us reach a manifold of people. God says he will help us reach a manifold of people. Take your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Bible says in verse 26, Luke chapter 18, verse 26, I must hurry. They heard it and said, "Who then can be saved?" And he said, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." Then Peter said, "Lo, we have left all and followed thee." And he said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left his house, or parents, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time, and in the world to come, of life everlasting." Now, listen to me carefully.
This is in reference to somebody going into the ministry full time. God did not ask every Christian to leave his father, his mother, his brother, and his kindred, and his hometown. He did ask that the man of God be willing to do that. 1985, when I left for Bible college, and in 1990, when I left Bible college, I left my hometown to be in the ministry. I left my parents. We left her parents. We left my brother, her brother, and sister. I left my grandparents, left everybody. I left everybody in Ohio, and she left everybody in Minnesota and Ohio. And we took off and went to Southern California. God help us. Southern California is like a box of cereal, full of fruits, flakes, and nuts.
Yes, 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 yes,
yes. I was out there during the Rodney King riots. They were burning buildings down 7 blocks from our house, and we lived in a good part of town. We had a gang unification meeting broken up with automatic machine gun fire 5 blocks from our house. SWAT team used our church as command post for hostage situations and landed the helicopter in the parking lot of the church. Crawl out from working underneath the bus on a transmission one day, and there's 27 police cruisers sitting in the churchyard, and you say, something must be up. I crawled out greasy, dirty, and said, "What y'all doing here?" The guy said, "Who are you?" I said, "I'm assistant pastor here." He said, "Prove it." Pulled out my keys and opened up the locked door. He said, "Reverend, where do you live?" I told him. He said, "You ought to get home." I said, "Why?" He said, "There's a gang unification meeting," and just at that moment, you heard machine gun fire. There's guys jumping into cruisers, throwing donuts everywhere, and flying. I said, "Which way you guys going?" He told me. I said, "I'm going this way, you go that way." By the time I got home, my wife, God bless her, 21 years old, walking through my house as I got to the door, and I look up and I see my 20 gauge pointed out the door at me. I said, "Honey, it's me, don't shoot." See, I taught her what to do with that thing, amen? And you can't duck fast enough when she pulls that trigger. "Honey, it's me, don't worry." Now, hang on. I understand leaving all. Then we went to South Carolina, the low country. I went from earthquakes and sodomites to lowlanders and hurricanes. Then I went back to the Chicago area. Then we came to West Virginia, the land of rednecks, amen?
Yeah.
Thank God for rednecks.
Yes,
I'd be one of them. Now, wait a minute. God said if we'll do what he says, he will give us a manifold of people. Thursday, my son and I were talking. Actually, it was Friday. I'm sorry. My son Jeff and I were driving to and from someplace, just him and I. We were talking about what happened here at our church Wednesday night. Talking about some things that we were going to do in the future. He and I were just talking. And he said, "Dad," and I quote, "God is really using all of your church. Your church people." He said, "You weren't even there, and look what God was doing through your church people." I said, "That's exactly what it is, son."
He said, we get a lot of visiting preachers here. He said, you know what it's like at college. I said, I do. He said, you know how many of them are worried to be away? He said, I watched you get excited because you were away about what God was going to do, and then he did it, and you weren't shocked. He said, God's really using all of your people. I said, yes, he is.
You know, that's what God's talking about. This is not my church. This is God's church. God's hand's not just on me. God's hand's supposed to be on each and every person in this room. You know, I had no problem leaving and letting Brother Stoltz and Brother June and Brother Gus and all the men that were here take care of things. Can I tell you why? God's hand's upon them. I have no problem with that. I have no problem with Brother Gus and Brother June teaching my adult Sunday school class. Say why? I trust them. God's hand is on them. They study the Bible. They think right. They believe right. They're our kind of people. They're God's kind of people, and God's hand's on them. Can I tell you something? That's what God wants.
Amen.
Are they doing all right?
Yes.
God wants to use each and every one of us to win people that nobody else could win.
The lady that got baptized Wednesday night, do you know who reached her? Little Ashley. Girl that about a year and a half ago, if you'd have said she was going to go to a Baptist church, she probably would have jack-slapped you up both sides of your head at once. Watched her come to church one day and sit through a church service and tremble through the invitation. And after the invitation, one of our people led her to the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You talk about God changing somebody.
Glory.
Any of you that didn't know her when she first came, you never saw that beautiful smile she had. She sat in church like this. All of a sudden, she got saved. God took that frown and turned it upside down. God used her chickens. Amen. Delivering eggs to a lady that said she got cancer and facing cancer surgery, and she invited her to church. A couple weeks ago, she came to church, sat right over here. My wife wondered to the Lord at the invitation.
Praise the Lord.
And she came to church Wednesday night getting baptized and Monday morning having cancer surgery. My wife and I are going to be up there before 6 o'clock in the morning in Frederick before she goes into surgery to pray with her. Can I tell you something? Every person we reach, you know people nobody else knows. You'll reach people that nobody else can reach. Good night, Fred had 25 tracks in his pocket when he went to the hospital. He passed out more and said, preacher, need more tracks. Wally said, I brought you everything you got in the car. There's a whole bunch right there. Man, he's passing out more. You know, June's going to reach people I can't reach. Larry and Sherry have reached people we would have never reached. Talk about somebody God has used. That little couple right back there.
Yes, sir. Praise the Lord.
Came to church, sat down. Sherry came forward at the invitation, got saved. Brother Ron walked back, won him to the Lord during the invitation. Came back the next week, got baptized. They've probably brought 20 people to church.
Hallelujah.
They've seen dozens of their family members and friends get saved throughout all this.
Hallelujah.
Can I tell you something? God does it that way.
Amen.
God wants to use us all.
Yes, sir.
God's grace will help us reach a manifold of people. By the way, we're supposed to fish with a net, not with a line. When you fish with a net, you don't care what color, what size, or what anything. You're just going to grab everything you can grab.
Amen.
Red and yellow, black and white, Jesus loves everybody.
Amen.
He likes the big ones, the small ones, the wide ones, the skinny ones.
Amen.
He likes the old ones, the young ones, and the middle-aged ones, thank God.
Yes,
I'm going to ask God about this middle-aged thing. I'm about to turn 50. Does that mean I'm going to be 100? Wait a minute. Everybody has skills or personalities that will reach people that I can't reach. You know, my dad can reach people I can't reach. Brother Stoltz is driving truck and he can reach people that I could not reach. Got Brother Gus, who's an electrician. God bless that man. He has the power. He'll reach people I'll never even understand how to reach. Brother June does business, and he'll reach people in a field that I understand how some of it, but don't make me work on it. It's going to be a mess. You see, we all can reach people that nobody else could reach. We must all do our part so that the work keeps growing and doing and stay focused. May I say this?
As our church grows, and hang on, as soon as we move out of these cramped spaces, all those visitors that have been coming that saying, as soon as we get a building, we're coming back, it's going to go crazy.
Yes, sir.
This church isn't going to stay the size it is. It's going to multiply, not add to.
That's right.
I really believe that. Sat in Brother Fugit's office this week, and he said, "Preacher, are you ready for the growth?" I said, "I think so." He said, "Is your church ready for it?" I said, "They're itching for it." He said, "Good." He said, "Keep them scratching." He said, "Because when it happens, be careful." He said, it could go quick. I said, "No, it couldn't. It's gonna." He started laughing. He said, "You're right." He said, "But keep them doing the same thing once it starts really rapidly growing." Can I tell you something? We got to keep doing the same thing even when we see God help us succeed and multiply our efforts.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
When God multiplies the work, guess what? We get to reach that many more people. Isn't that what it's all about?
Yes, sir.
God will meet the variety of needs of every person in this room. He is a manifold God. He is a manifold God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who would say, "Preacher, I am 100% sure if I died today, I would go to heaven. I know that for sure." Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who would say, "Preacher, if I died today, I'm not 100% sure." Now, listen to me. I won't embarrass you. I won't call your name. I won't come to you. But who would say, "Preacher, if I died today, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know it someday." Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, "Preacher, somewhere in that sermon is something I personally needed today. I needed it for my life." Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Scores and scores and scores of hands. In a moment, when I point to the pianist, she'll begin to play. When she begins to play, if you raised your hand, you come forward and kneel at this altar and pray. If you've been saved and never baptized, we can take care of that today. If you've been saved and baptized, like to join this church, you may do that today. Maybe you just want to come to this altar and pray. God's got a need in your life. He wants to color.